Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Jenny Hogue Ashwell. Jenny, a former lawyer and now spiritual messenger and mentor, is the author and scribe of the inspiring guidebook, Love's Curriculum, Messages of Enlightenment, a book that brings forth messages from the High Council that are vital for our times. The High Council includes Jesus, the archangels, and other light teachers who have gathered to lead us through the current spiritual awakening. Jenny, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful and to be here.
I just want to start by congratulating you on your book making number one international bestseller. What a tremendous accomplishment and what an amazing book.
Thank you. Yes, it's very exciting. I'm really excited for its messages and to see how it affects readers out there. It's very exciting.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you came to your passion and purpose, because you've had an amazing journey along the way, going from attorney, now spiritual messenger, best-selling author. Tell us a little bit about how that happened due to your passion and finding your purpose in life.
Yes. So back in the, I guess, mid-90s, I had graduated from law school and was working as a lawyer in the Phoenix area. And I had chosen law because it seemed like a good thing to do. It was a very logical decision. And I didn't really have, at that time, a career that I felt passionate about, really. And it was on my first day at the job in the law firm that I had what I call a wake-up call from my soul. And I just remember hearing almost like an internal word saying, your path lies elsewhere. You want to be doing something else. This isn't really what's calling you. And it was like a start of learning to listen to an internal guidance, starting to get in touch with what my soul was calling me to do. And I started to take classes in personal development and spiritual development. And that's when I just lit up. I thought, this is what I'm passionate about. And of course, it meant a big shift, and it took about 3 years, and then I decided to leave my career as a lawyer.
Wow, that's incredible. So tell me a little bit about what taking that leap was like, because here you had a successful career you worked really hard to achieve, and kind of leaping out into the unknown. What was that like, and what catapulted you forward?
Yes, it was scary at times, took a lot of courage, and yet what catapulted me forward was just a knowing, like a real sense of purpose. I can call it my soul calling to me that kept me going forward, even though it felt a little scary, or I would say those on the outside looking in thought, what is she doing? They might have thought I was a bit crazy at the time, in a way, to leave my career and having lost clones and all of that time. And yet it really felt so in line with what I wanted to do and my passion, that that kept me moving forward through the fears that came up or the doubts or the outward reflections from others around me.
Yeah. That can put all of us at a real standstill, you know, taking that in.
Yes, for sure. And it's learning. I also got a lot of support. So I was also going through a divorce at the time. I got counseling support. I took classes on intuition, so I was learning tools to strengthen that connection to my own knowing and to my gut feeling and to what was right for me. So I was really honing that skill of learning to listen inward. For me, I also learned how to journal to my angels. So this idea that we have a higher self guiding us, or an angelic beings who are here with our highest good. And so I learned to ask questions of them and journal it. And that, I look back, I have journals and journals of the last 15 years through all the changes and the moves and where to study next and what to do next. And it was, a lot of it was that journaling to my angels, to my higher self, that gave me my own internal clarity as opposed to the outward world and what others might see or what logic might tell me to do.
Oh, that's so empowering. You know, the growth, the spiritual growth is so empowering. So tell us a little bit. Yeah, for sure. So tell us a little bit about how you started writing. You said you started journaling, you know, pretty prolifically.
Yes, and I looked back when I was thinking about this recently, that I loved writing ever since I was young and took quite a bit of writing in university and then became a legal writer. So I did a lot of writing of debates and arguments to the court as a lawyer. So I always enjoyed the writing process. And it's interesting because the book is a very different kind of writing. It literally came through me like an inner dictation. So it was a learning to actually not be in control of the writing, not think it out, but to just surrender, close my eyes, and just typed what I heard as coming from an internal dictation and from the High Council. So it was quite a unique experience for me, very different than the writing I had been used to before.
Yeah, and how is that? I mean, how did you develop a comfort level with that?
Well, faith, I guess, is a big one. And again, support. I had a great friend who was cheering me on and who was a little more familiar with that type of, she had done that kind of scribing before. So having her cheer me on and give me some guidance on how to do that was very helpful. I think that's one of the keys to my entire journey, has been in part about learning to ask for help, learning to get support, that we don't get there on our own. But I had, in my youth, become pretty independent, smart girl, I don't need much help. So it's been an unfolding journey of learning to ask for help. And that's been a good lesson.
It is. And, you know, that's one that I've really had to learn. And I learned that rather late in life for myself. And I found that a lot of times you don't even realize you're turning help away. People will offer you help, and it's so automatic to be independent, you know. And I think it's just a wonderful discovery. So is there anything that, you know, like physically, I mean, obviously you're very spiritually inspired, but is there anything physically that helps you with your writing, anything that puts you into a creative space?
Yes. One big step was just to make time for it. That was the beginning of my journey. So making time for journaling, to asking questions and taking the time to get the answers. And then that is how the book started to come to me, was through taking time in the mornings, even 15 minutes, to actually start writing. So I think that creative space is probably always waiting. We just don't necessarily give it the time. So that was a huge step, was to actually say, okay, I'm going to set time to actually pursue this and to commit to it. So that was a big step.
Yeah, and I think that, once again, that's a big step for a lot of us. We all have such busy lives, and it's a different space than other spaces that you're in a lot of times during your day. You know, the place that you have to be in, you know, it's, I kind of look at it, it's the difference between, like, I have a really strong advertising business background, and it's the difference between doing, you know, creative type of endeavors and doing bookkeeping. You know, they're very, very different.
Oh, yes.
A whole different space.
Yes, it's sometimes hard to transition. I know when I've been working with a client in an intuitive space or doing the intuitive writing, and then I try and figure out the bill or the invoice or any of that. My mind just can't wrap itself around the numbers in that moment because it is a different,
a whole different headspace and spiritual space. So what kind of challenges did you face? I know you said that one of the challenges was finding the time, but was there anything else that you faced? Because you really went through a tremendous transition from something so unbelievably factual, like law, to something that's so intuitive and so inspirational to be channeling the messages.
So the biggest challenge was, I call it the ego, or we could call it the inner critic. It's the voice of fear and doubt. And I have heard many artists and writers and creatives and intuitives talk about that. It comes up for all of us as we decide to let go and surrender and be creative or be intuitive. And it was strong. I had, at one point, yes, it was really scary to start to kind of come out of the closet that I'm channeling or getting these intuitive messages and I'm writing them down and it's turning into a book. There was a bit of fear that I'd be ostracized from my neighbors and my community. And some of that, is historically people were burned at the stake. So there was some of that, you know, historically when people had intuitive gifts or healing gifts or messages that didn't resonate with the times, bad things happened to them. So a kind friend and counselor said to me that fear is really inhumanity. It's a real fear. And I did feel that come up, even though logically I could say that's not going to happen in my neighborhood or in today's times. That was one of the fears that I had to step through, that yes, it is safe, it is okay. And then just the doubts that I can't really be doing this. What I'm typing won't make sense. And I just had to keep surrendering those doubts, asking for a higher power. For me, it was the guides and the high council and the angels to take it from me, to take that fear, to take that doubt so that I could continue. So to get out of my own way, really, and just keep going, even though those doubts come up.
Wow. So tell us a little bit more about the message of your book and what you hope readers might take away.
Yes, I have big aspirations in a sense of it's rekindling something that I felt really strongly even in as a teenager, that I wanted to save the world. I wanted to help make a huge difference. And I really do hope that this book helps readers remember their true nature, that they are divine, that they are spiritual beings having a human experience, that they are loved and they are love, that they belong here. So a real comforting in their heart that they're okay, that they belong, that they are, it's like answering that ache maybe that many feel, they're longing for that divine connection. So to really remember that that's the truth of who you are, and then inspire people to connect with their own soul's purpose, to start living their own passion and purpose, and really bring love to the world, to contribute from a place of love instead of fear, to serve in the way that they feel called to make a difference in the world.
That is so beautiful, and what a wonderful contribution. And I know it's probably very early to ask you this, but if you were to look at this almost like a legacy, what would you like to leave behind to the world?
Oh, love is the word that comes to mind, and it might be a bit an ethereal concept, and yet not. It's really, again, our true nature, just remembering that and feeling that. So to leave a legacy of love and of authenticity and connection from the heart, so people living in their hearts, and myself included, to really connect, to connect authentically with others, to connect from the heart and to connect with the love that connects all.
Oh, that is so, so beautiful. So without giving away the book, I want people to be able to go and buy it from Amazon and really enjoy it and explore it. But are there a few tips in the book that were given to you that you've shared there?
Yes. Well, some tips from the book that I could share, like a little insights. So one is that self-love and compassion is really key, key to our development, key to learning to love others, the key to our spiritual evolution, that it really begins and is so important that we need to have love and forgiveness and compassion for ourselves, that we need to be included. So when we think of loving the world or loving others, it needs to also include loving ourselves. So counting ourselves in that, because it's truly one love. When we give love, we receive love. When we receive love, we give love. So really, it's so key that we learn to have compassion for ourselves, to forgive ourselves, and to love and really care for ourselves as we would care for another.
That is so important. And for those that may be struggling with that, do you have any tips as to how they can get started on really developing a robust relationship and love for themselves?
Well, one is the book does that in a kind of magical way. It's a read for the heart, so it doesn't work intellectually as much as it's an experience to read it, and the words and messages seem to just open that door for love and for self-love. And another actual practice that I have used over the years, and it's not specifically referenced in the book, but it's about looking in the mirror, as silly as it might sound, and telling yourself that you love yourself. Or when you look in the mirror, instead of judging how you look or thinking, oh, my hair doesn't look quite right, or oh, look at how I look, to actually every time to just give yourself kind words, to really love yourself no matter what you look like, no matter how tired you look or angry you look or anything, to really, there's an act of actually looking at yourself in the mirror, looking in your own eyes, and as if you were maybe sending love to another or saying words to another, but you're saying it to your reflection. It's quite a powerful experiential practice that can really help with starting to really accept ourselves and to love ourselves.
That is so, again, so beautiful. And I just want to thank you so much, Jenny, for making such a great contribution to the world with this book. It's so wonderful, the world that we live in now. Literally everyone can access this on the web and for purchase as well as download electronically. So it's a wonderful time in which we live to carry this beautiful message and share it with the world.
Thank you. Yes, I love that we can all connect so easily from all over the world. And it really reflects the fact that we truly are all connected energetically and spiritually. So I love that our technology is now mirroring that.
Yeah, so I hope everyone will go out and pursue Jenny's book. It's so wonderful, Love's Curriculum, Message of Enlightenment, which you can find on Amazon and major booksellers. And then, Jenny, if they would like to touch base with you and connect with you on the web, is there somewhere that they can go? Do you have a website?
I do. It's lovescurriculum.com, and I've got lots of ways there that you can connect. I'm on Facebook as well. Very excited. I have a new Facebook group called Lightworkers and Love Advocates. So if you search that on Facebook, you can request to join. And I'm on there every day, live video, as well as posts and recorded video. And we answer questions, and just a really great place to connect with others and with me. And all of that information is on the website. So it's www.lovescurriculum.com.
Fabulous. Jenny, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much for bringing these wonderful messages into the world.
Thank you so much for having me, Vicki. It's been wonderful, and keep up all the great work that you are doing as well. It's wonderful to see.
Thank you so much. For those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcasting communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And have a wonderful week.